Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Based in Oldham, Pennine Mencap works to provide opportunities for adults with learning disabilities and those with complex needs across Oldham, Tameside and throughout Greater Manchester by helping people to create, achieve and express themselves. I'm delighted to welcome the chairman of Pennine Mencap, Elliot Sparks. Now then, public perceptions and attitudes towards people who have a learning disability. I would say that there's a general lack of awareness and public understanding of the support needs of the learning disabled community generally. So could more be done to maybe better influence and educate mainstream attitudes and opinions?
Absolutely. I think one of the disparities is that there has been a lot of really good work done for the last 40 years. The trajectory over the last 40 years has been positive. You can't get away from that, and that's welcome on every level. But the work that still needs to be done is around understanding, more than anything, that people with a learning disability or a learning difficulty or autism or any other condition neurologically that makes them see the world a little bit differently, they're still seeing the same world. And I find that one of the contradictions that's difficult for us to grapple with is that in some respects, in a good way, many people with quite a severe disability, they do get lots of support, fantastic. Families, carers, local authorities, people do get behind them, and that wraparound help can be amazing and give them a wonderful life. If someone has a more moderate disability, especially where it's a hidden disability, obviously with autism and learning difficulties, there is not necessarily a way that you can look at an individual and visually go, I recognise you have a condition or you may need extra support. The difficulty is, to use a horrible council phrase that was used not many years ago and still comes up sometimes, people are described as being sub-threshold, meaning they don't quite meet the standard for needing help, but they clearly do, but we'll kind of let them just do their own thing. The understanding that needs to be improved is that we're basically talking about people that can live pretty independently, and they have to deal with all the same day-to-day things of how do I pay my bills? How do I vote? What exactly does this letter mean that I've got from some company I've never heard of? Is it a scam? Is it real? You know, all these little things, the challenges that people without any obvious vulnerability face, the understanding needs to be improved that just because someone with a moderate learning disability can live independently and boil an egg doesn't mean that they should be turned down for PIP, that they shouldn't have that extra support to learn how to manage their finances or go to vote or to deal with a scam that's landed on their doorstep, because people without a disability struggle with those things. And that's the bit we're struggling with still, is that at the higher end of need, there is a very big statutory obligation to wrap care around people, and that works generally very well. It's just where there's that little step down where people are a bit more able that there isn't kind of an understanding of what should we be doing. And that's kind of that's the service user group that we particularly work with, and we're very passionate about highlighting both their potential and their skills, but also in a quite a subtle way, because we never want to make anyone sort of stand on a platform where they're going, I need help, I have difficulties. You know, it can be very demeaning the way other people sometimes approach that. But in a respectful and subtle way, we like to highlight that there's a different set of support that's needed for someone with a disability who's fairly independent. And that's where that better education, I think, needs to come out. In the public in general, maybe, but I think the main thing is it really, really needs to be more present in services. Job centre, for example, just as one example that I won't go into in any more detail than just saying job centre.
Now, you guys organise events and activities aimed at encouraging people to engage and get involved and to take part, mix, mingle, socialise. make friends, share their interests, hobbies and skills, learn and develop. So amongst the activities that you host, there's a theatre group. Tell me about that.
So Stage Right Performing Arts was one of the very first things we started doing with the charity back in 2012. So Stage Right Performing Arts is an inclusive drama group. It's taken various forms over the years. And what we're about is basically giving people an opportunity in a very, very safe and light-hearted way to learn some serious theatre skills and to really express themselves in all sorts of ways. And we tend to bounce back and forth between doing what I would describe as shockingly serious projects, because we quite like to go, here is a drama about someone dying in a fishing town, here is Shakespeare, here is another murder mystery from the 40s too. Actually, we're going to do a bit of Roald Dahl next because it's fun. And we're bouncing towards the fun end at the moment. We've got a performance which is a loving tribute to many people's favourite childhood TV show. We have called it, to avoid copyright dispute, Hilarious Histories, because history can be hilarious. And the drama group recount the whole of the history of Earth in one show. So there you go. We're quite ambitious like that. We could have picked like a couple of years, maybe a decade. But no, let's go from creation onwards.
Then we have Cooking with Confidence.
Well, yes, we do.
Yes, we do. From one play onwards to another.
Absolutely. So we've been doing cookery projects on and off in different ways for years, even when we didn't have a kitchen, because, you know, you can improvise and still safely cook things on a desk. That's one of our charity's not official lines, but it's one of my beliefs. Cooking with Confidence was always our group cookery activity that we did in person at Rhodes Bank Chambers, and it was just a kind of opportunity for people to get together. And we get lots of surplus donations that we have to physically drive out and collect from various supermarkets. And this project basically became a way of, we have got 19 cauliflowers from Aldi today and some blue pepper donated by Duke Ellington. And let's see what we can make with it. But COVID then happened. We couldn't get lots of people in a room to cook together. It took a whole 2 days of being frustrated that we couldn't do that before we went, right, we're going to do it anyway, but we'll do it remotely. And it turned into the Pennine Mencap Cook Along, where we distribute ingredients kits through Oldham, Tameside, some bits of Manchester, even into Stockport and Rochdale where we can. Resources, you know, pending. But we basically make up ingredients kits every week, deliver them to between 25 and 40 people each time. And unfortunately, the activity has grown to the point where there's now too many people doing it for us to actually get everyone back into the building and do it at the same time. So even sort of largely post-COVID as we are, it's still an interactive online activity where people are learning some fantastic skills from our really terrible demonstrations that always go wrong.
And what other culinary delights do you cook up?
I'm not saying like I'm a recipe dictator or anything, but I tend to be very, very sort of hands-on with, this is what we'll do this week. And because we're doing it later in the day, as an example, I thought, let's do breakfast if we're doing it near a tea time. That's the logical thing to do. And my dear colleague Tom has been going on for ages, can we just not make a bacon butty one week?
Good idea. You see, Tom's right up my street.
So obviously I said to Tom, that's a brilliant idea, let's do that. And we are making Mexican-style bacon and egg breakfast quesadillas with a mango salsa. So it is kind of a bacon butty. It's breakfast at night, but that gives you an idea of, we like to take old favourites and things that people love and go, let's do it a bit different, and just prove to yourself that you can do that.
And let's teach people how to do it while we're doing it.
Absolutely.
Shall we talk about the Friday Night Club?
So this is one of our other longest running activities, and it has had to sort of recover itself post-COVID because it was the biggest thing that stopped happening. But we've always used venues in Ashton-under-Lyne for our big social group, and at the moment we are using the fantastic Hurst Community Centre, which is run by a wonderful team of volunteers. And we once a month, last Friday of the month to be specific, we have a fantastic big social get together. And again, wording it carefully, we try and make it like a pretty, it takes all the good things about quote unquote a normal night out. We have karaoke, we have very, very loud and exciting music, we have bingo, we do other sort of, we do things like play cards, right, and stuff. We serve food, so we make sure they get a hot meal no matter how much it costs us. people have pizza, but this time, for example, we grilled, I think, 44... Yeah, I grilled 44 burgers on makeshift grills in the kitchen there last time, and that went down very, very well. So it's just a really good opportunity to come along and spend some time with some wonderful people and just enjoy it however you want.
Then we have the Rhodes Bank Choir. I've been setting it up because you brought some music in that we're going to have a listen
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Tell me about the choir.
So the choir, I feel like I'm going to repeat something that I shouldn't repeat. No, I'll phrase it differently. So one thing about the Rhodes Bank Choir is that on many occasions I have stood and introduced this wonderful inclusive choir where everyone has a different disability, and I have said actively to audiences, do not give these guys the sympathy clap. Do not get into this because they're people with disabilities. This is a fantastic choir. They sing to a level that any choir should be happy to sing to, and we want you to embrace and enjoy the fact that these are entertainers. And our choir has grown from like 4 people in 2014 again to like nearly 30 now, and we try and do a really broad range of songs. We love to surprise people to go, a choir singing that song. We like that reaction, and like I said, the key thing is we want people to enjoy it on its own merits and not to get hung up on the fact that we're a disability charity, because as important as that is, I think you've got the gist.
You lie. The sky above me. Don't close your eyes. Don't fade away. Don't fade.
There you go.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. That was the Rhodes.
Rhodes Bank Choir?
The Rhodes Bank Choir rule the world. There's also another very important role, I think, for the choir, in my opinion. Because I would imagine that it also works to influence and engage the wider public perspective and public view.
It serves two very complementary functions, I think, that point in different directions. So, on one hand, yeah, it is very much skills building, confidence, bonding for the members of the choir. And that particular song means a lot to them because the rehearsal for it began after one of their close friends and one of our long-term service users, Martin, passed away unexpectedly. So it was also very therapeutic for them. So internally, it means all that to the choir. But you're right, when we go out and perform publicly, it is, I think, very eye-opening for a lot of people. And we've had some really good opportunities. We've managed to be on stage with the choir at Oldham Pride as the opening entertainment. The reaction's been so good. In particular, when it was an outdoor event and everyone was getting rained on and there was such an atmosphere, people didn't run away, they stayed for it. In fact, I'll give a good example without being contentious too much. A few years ago, they were invited to perform at the Greater Manchester Chamber of Commerce at an event with all business and political leaders, and we thought this is a fantastic opportunity to really show something to people who have a bit of influence and have a bit of power. And there was a big stage, and the mayor was there, all that was happening, and when we arrived, we were shoved in a corridor and told to perform there. So that was an example of, we were within touching distance, I feel, of being able to kind of really showcase on a big stage, and were met with, and I won't call it prejudice because, you know, people have got lawyers, but we were met with an attitude of, oh, it's the token disability group that are here. And we had a bit of a disagreement about their role on that day, and I felt it was an example of, this should be important and they should be valued for what they're doing. And we made a hell of a big noise and sang very, very loudly that day. I will tell you, things could not be heard that were not near us. So.
Brilliant. Now then, since Pennine Mencap started, have you had to learn things as you go along and maybe undertake some changes in your own understandings and approach?
Every day is, to use a really tedious phrase, a school day. Literally everything has been learned. You know, me in particular, I am not I may give the impression of knowing what I'm doing, but I'm not an educated person. Like, I left school when I was 12, and I've got no meaningful qualifications, and we've got this wonderful ragtag group of people that are, and apologies if you feel, my dear colleagues, that I'm being disparaging by calling you ragtag, I mean it in the most positive possible way. We all come from different backgrounds, and we've had to learn, how do we merge all these skills and ideas into a coherent organisation, and how do you safeguard people, how do you operate a building, you know, how do you make links with other organisations, how on earth do you get funding? You know, that's always been the thing you have to really learn as you go along, because it's the ultimate example of goalposts that move, and when you think you got it figured out and you've got a pathway to achieving things financially, the goalposts tend to shift and it becomes very difficult again. So yeah, it's just every day we are adapting, learning, and it will never ever end.
Let's talk strong links. I'd guess, or I might be completely off the mark, but I guess that there are other affiliated and even non-affiliated clubs and local groups in other parts of Greater Manchester. Do you have good relationships with them, and do you ever engage with each other?
Well, I think one of the things is, a lot of disability organisations tend to exist in a bit of a bubble. We don't, I think, all communicate as well as we could. And I'll hold my hands up as much as anyone else to say, we should also be doing more. So we do have really good links with other support organisations. We have lots of supported living businesses that help to link into what we do with the charity, and that's really appreciated because they see that we're providing meaningful occupation. They see that people that they're housing can come to us and learn things and do things that they can't just by being in a supported housing setup. And also some of the other charities that we have links with, thinking of affiliated Mencaps, we've had a visit recently from Chorley Mencap, came down from Lancashire. We've always had a good relationship with Kirklees Mencap, you know. So it's quite broad that we've got all these little connections, and maybe it's just a lack of time sometimes. We're also busy doing our bit of the mission that we don't talk to other groups about how their bit of the mission's going. We're all, that makes it sound either very military or religious, but it's neither of those things.
I'm going to round off with a tiny few quick fire questions and observations just to wrap up. you can come back at me with quickfire answers and perhaps one or two comments. If you fancy, you don't have to. Your middle name is Giles.
It is.
A burglar once took all the cash along with the laptops and the computers and left you with just 55 pence in your till.
Yes, we have been robbed a relentless amount of times over the years, and that was the most dramatic one.
People can join in, as you've mentioned, your weekly cook-along sessions live online every week. How can they do that? Do they just find you at Pennine Mencap?
They come to the Pennine Mencap Facebook page, and it's free to take part. You can either just sit and watch the chaos, or you can request a kit and take part yourself.
Thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Can I add one little thing, Terry?
You can add whatever you want.
It'll be really, really quick. I just want to say hello to my missus and my kids. Hi, Becky. Hi, Isaac. Hi, Ruby. I love you all. Bless. I've got to be cheesy and get that in there.
Can we wish you, everything you do, everyone, and you engage with and influence at Pennine Mencap, ongoing success. Much continued success for the future. Elliot Sparks, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.